Last week we started talking and teaching and preaching a little bit about the promises of God. How many of you know that the promises of God are for everybody? Amen? They're going to throw a scripture up there in just a second, and we're going to read it, but I want you to hear me out. We have access to the book. From Genesis chapter 1 to the end of Revelation, everything in that book is for you and for me and for our children and for our grandchildren and for our great-grandchildren. As Acts 2:39, for the promises unto you and your children, your children's children, even those that are afar off. Somebody say, the promise is mine. Praise the Lord. I read last week and I gave you a little bit of an introduction to this, and there are over 7,000 promises in the Old and New Testament. Almost 25%, I believe it's 22% to be exact, of the Bible is promises that God has made to his children. That means that the blood, that means that what Jesus paid for at Calvary and made accessible to you, that means that everything that he made a way where there wasn't a way for, that means it's all for you. And that 22%, nearly 25% of all those promises of the Old Testament culminated at the New Testament with the blood, and then the promise is being poured out today. We're living in a New Testament, a new dispensation. We're in a time of blessings, amen. We're in a time of God's providence. We're in a time of God making sure that his children have everything that they need. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to jump right into this. Last week we talked about several different types of promises and several different things. You can get on the podcast or you can get on YouTube and read or listen along in that. But today I just want to talk a few little lesson points here, and I hope that you leave here encouraged. I'm going to teach a little bit, but I'm going to preach too. So get your bootstraps pulled up and get everything ready, and let's jump into the Word. If you would, my friend, pull that scripture up for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. It didn't say for some, but he said for all the promises of God in him. Who's that? Jesus. All the promises of God in Jesus are yes, and in him amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I love you, God, and I thank you. I give you glory for who you are and for what you do. I ask you, Lord, to mantle me with a special anointing to teach and preach your word, to destroy yokes and remove burdens. Father, I thank you, God, that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I believe that it's going to do surgery on our minds, on our bodies, and on our spirits tonight. And we're going to leave this place encouraged. We're going to leave this place full of the promises of God, expecting the promises of God to come to fruition. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bind up the devil. We bind up every spirit of infirmity, everything that would cause division, distraction, or destruction. And we command it to loose its hold and leave in the name of Jesus. Be with those that are traveling, those that cannot be here tonight, those in hospitals and nursing facilities. God, touch their bodies in Jesus' name. And everybody in the house said, amen. Praise the Lord. I want to go back to the 12th chapter of Genesis. Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. At this point in time, scholars think and believe that Abram was raised in the house of an idol maker. And some people believe that Abram was potentially, and most likely was, an idol maker himself. He carved or made graven images of false gods, and he worshiped these, and this was his living. But the Lord came to him, and he said, I want you to get out from where you are. I want you to pack your bags, buddy. We're going somewhere different than where you are right now. He said, I want you to trust me, and I want you to obey me. And if you'll do this, and if you'll gather yourself up, and if you will leave out of this country and out of your family's inhabitants and out of your father's house, I'm going to take you to a land that you can't even imagine. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to take care of those that take care of you. I'm going to give you this promise. If you'll believe and if you will trust, the promise is going to come to fruition. I want to talk to us tonight for just a little bit, trusting God for his promises. trusting God for his promises. God has made special promises to people who dared to believe and to act upon his word. Did you hear me, somebody? Abram was looking at a crossroads in his life, a crossroads of obedience, if you will. He had a lap of luxury. He was a wealthy man. He came from a home with wealth. He had everything that he needed. But God said, if you leave this place, I'm going to bring you to a better position than you are right now. There was no guarantee outside of the promise of God. There was no map laid out for him. There was no instructions other than that given to him. There was not a diagram or a contract of promise in the natural, but the God of all creation spoke to a man and he said, if you will but trust me, I'm going to bless you like you've never imagined you could be blessed. He said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. He said, the sands on the seashore are not even going to be, it's going to be like your children. It's not even going to be number. All the stars in the sky, that's how your generations are going to be. You're not going to be able to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. I'm going to give you a promise that you can't contain. And you know what the brother did? He made it happen. He got up, he packed his bags, and he went, and God changed him from Abram to Abraham, and that's who we sing about in children's church. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you. Let's just praise the Lord. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That is a product of someone obeying and having faith for the promise. You say, what's that got to do with me? Some of you have been promised things by God and you haven't seen them yet. It doesn't make sense to you yet. You can't see it on the horizon. You can't put a point on the map where it is. You haven't heard yet where it's coming from. But I'm here to tell somebody on a Sunday night, if God promised something to you, it's coming down the line. You may not hear it yet, see it yet, feel it yet, sense it yet, but if God promised it, obey him, have faith in him, and he will reward those that diligently trust and seek him. Praise God. I want you to listen to me. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter where you currently are. It doesn't matter what situations you're looking at your current state. But God can turn something on its head in a moment, and he can flip the light switch, if you will, and bring light into the darkness, bring strength into the weakness, bring health into the sick, bring liberty to the bound, and do whatever he's promised to do in an instant. I'm going to give you a little understanding right now. Somebody say authority. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say authority. I want you to hear me. God has the authority to speak things into existence. He created this earth not with hands, not with tools, not with a D6 dozer or with a big excavator, but God spoke it and it came to fruition. The light was not existent. It was no sun, no moon, no stars, not even a light bulb. And God said into the dark, chaotic existence of the universe, let there be light, and it came on. And ever since he said it, it's been moving ever since. God can speak to a Red Sea and it part. God can speak to a lion and its mouth closed. God can speak to fire and the heat be taken out of it. God can speak to a stone and it go launch itself into the head of Goliath. Whatever the situation may be, it might even be dead. God can say, Lazarus, come forth, and 4 days after doom, God bring forth life into a dead vessel. God has the authority to speak, and when he speaks, his word does not return void. Are you hearing me, somebody? When we listen, praise God, and we get a revelation of what the promise is, that's your opportunity to come into covenant with God's promise. I want you to practice this week. I want you to grab a hold of it this week, and I want you to apply it this week. God says it, you repeat it. God speaks it, you do it. God commands it, you jump in line and help it. I want you to get a hold of this. Sometimes we bind ourselves up and we imprison ourselves. We're snared, we're trapped, we're stumbled over our own words. The Bible says that there's power of life and death in your mouth, in your tongue, and when you speak the promises of God, when you speak the life that he's given you, you are bringing yourself into a covenant with the promise. There's nothing in nature that can reproduce by itself. Not one animal in this world that I know of can make babies by itself. Huh? It takes two to tango. The man and the woman comes together and they produce the baby. Okay? Some of you are hearing the word. Some of you are hearing the promise. Some of you are listening to it, but you're not coming into agreement with the promise. Some of you have been labeled as an overcomer, but you're still laying back because, not me, Lord, I'm not worthy. Some of you have been spoken healing promises, but you hold on to the sickness because it's more convenient than it is to be healed. Bartimaeus got healed because he began to speak. Somebody hear me this evening. Bartimaeus began to cry aloud when he heard that Jesus was coming down the road. He began to cry out saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He put his mouth into covenant with God's promise. Praise the Lord. I want to read you a quick story. I'm going to be brief in this, but I want you to hear it out. Napoleon, the Emperor of France, was reviewing his troops near Paris when his horse became unruly. The emperor dropped the reins while giving a command, and the spirited animal bounded away. Napoleon was in danger of being hurled to the ground, and a young private, a little nobody, a little less than, a little insignificant person, I want you to hear me out, standing in line, leaped forward, grabbed the bridle of the horse, and saved the general from a fall. The emperor looked at him abruptly and said, "Thank you, captain. Of what regiment? Of my guards?" And Napoleon galloped away. Did you hear what he called him? The man was a private, but Napoleon said, "Thank you, captain." I know some of y'all don't understand this yet. I'm going to tie this into the Bible real quick. We've got Gideon hid out behind the wine press. He's afraid. He's fearful. He doesn't have any bravery in him. But God comes by and he says, "Hey, Gideon, thy mighty man of valor." He said, "Me? I'm the weakest of my family. I'm the smallest of my tribe. My people aren't strong. I'm not a mighty man of valor." But somebody say authority. The authority was spoken and declared him not a pipsqueak, but an overcomer, a mighty man of valor. And when God speaks it, it's time to obey. As soon as the general said, "Captain," the private laid down his musket and walked toward a group of officers. One of them rebuked him for breaking rank. The private responded, "I'm a captain of the Royal Guards." And the officer said, "You are insane. Who told you this?" The soldier pointed at the emperor. "He said it, sir." And the officer said, "I beg your pardon, captain. I was not aware of your promotion." That's a true story. I want you to listen to me. When the emperor said it, it did not matter how it looked or whether he had the correct uniform or he walked with the same style or he previously had the authority or not. It only mattered that he said it. When God says something, it doesn't matter how bad, how bleak, how negative, or how dark. Believe it and transform your life. Believe it and walk in it, talk in it, and come into covenant with it. The promises, you say, "Brother Shelby, those promises aren't for me. I'm nothing. I'm broke. I'm busted. I'm disgusted." It doesn't matter what you came in here. It's what you leave with. And nobody ever came in contact with Jesus and stayed the same. Do you hear me tonight? So men and women, this is going to sound a little fleshy, but it's just the truth. God will promote you. God will, I hate to say the word exalt you, because he'll give you promotions. He'll raise you up. He'll kick it up a notch, and he'll put you over more than you were before. He'll give you more responsibility. He'll put you in positions that you're not just going with the flow, but you're leading the charge. Do you hear me tonight? And there's nothing wrong with that as long as God is the one who gives the promotion. The problem is when we want to promote ourselves, and our promises of grandeur are going to fall apart. But God's promises are yea and amen. So here's the reality. Men and women are made great. by God's promises. Do you believe that? And I know some of y'all are going to say, Brother Shelby, this is one of them of prosperity. You bet your boots it is. I believe that you are to prosper as your soul prospers. Come on. But there's sometimes a difference in prospering and profiting. Did you hear me? You can prosper and be broke. You can prosper and be sick. You can prosper and have nothing. Why? There's a little thing on my bank. When something gets deposited in there, it says pending. Y'all have anything on that? You get direct deposit, and it's pending, right? You try to go direct, or you try to withdraw from that pending. What's it going to say? Insufficient funds. All right, you ain't got it yet. It's there. It's on its way. It's coming. It just ain't here yet. Some of you say, well, how can I prosper when I ain't got it? How can I prosper when I'm sick? How can I prosper when my family's falling apart? If God promised you your prosperity, if God promised your increase, if God promised you're going to make it, you may not see it yet. It's pending, but it's going to hit your account. Bet your boots on it. God's going to take care of you. If he said he's going to do it, he will do it. Men and women are made great by God's promises. And it only happens, listen, it only happens when they believe the words of God. Do you know if we really believed what we said we did, we would actually get out there and do something. I made this statement, and I just thought it was normal, but it really, I guess it's not. It is impossible to fail whenever God's told you to do something. I've responded this way in conversations with people, and they look at me like I'm strange. Because I don't say it generally when I'm talking about it. I can't fail because God told me to do it. Does that make sense? And the world, or really no, religion will say, well, that's an arrogant, cocky spirit. Hang on a minute. Brother Bill, what did that doctor say to you? The first one said they couldn't do the procedure, right? That you wouldn't make it through it. Here, I want you to tell this story real quick.
He said, at your age, you will probably survive the surgery. You're probably going to die. Then he says, if you do live, you won't have no good life. I said, well, I'm not going that route. What else I got? He said, you only got 4 months left on this earth. But, he said, I'm going to look into somebody else to talk to. They sent Dr. Hale down there. When he come in there, he said, I'm Dr. Hale, and I'm cocky. I'm among the best, and I may be the very best. I can fix you. Huh? I wish Carla Sullivan was here. She looked at the clock on the wall when they took me back there. She got down and prayed. She said, all around that room was angels dressed in military attire. I could hear their heels a-clicking. Stood with Dr. Hale, with a man a little bit bigger than he was, dressed in a different attire. She said, are you Michael or Gabriel? He said, I'm neither. I am the captain of the host of the living God. I want you to know there's angels around us if we fear God. When I left the hospital, Dr. Hale said, you could live to be 120. It's your age, as good a shape you're in. Said, you'll probably be off all this medicine by the end of the year. He sent me to another doctor. I was, well, I better not say. After he looked at me, he said, you will probably be off all of this medicine by the end of the year, except maybe one. I want you to know when the chief physician's in charge, and I'm looking for the same thing for Peggy. God bless y'all.
Did you hear what he said about Dr. Hale? He said, I'm cocky. Them others said, we can't do it. Those others said, you ain't going to make it. Those others said 4 months to live. But that one come in there What are you saying? He had the authority. He had the knowledge. He had the confidence. He said, I'm cocky. I know what is going to, you're going to make it. What are you saying? I believe that when God speaks something into your life, you can stand on, you might come across cocky, but if somebody understood what, if somebody heard what you had heard, if somebody felt the hand of God that you had felt, if somebody had listened to the promises that was given to you and it was for them, I can promise you they'd be the same way. You've got to quit acting humiliated and start having the confidence to believe and to do and to be what God has promised for your life. There ain't nothing wrong with being great for Jesus. You think God promised you to be pitiful? You think God wants you to be broke down all the time? And God don't want that for you. God wants you to be great so you can do great things for Him. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:6, believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When we diligently seek the Word, He rewards us. Did you catch it? The promise was He is a rewarder. Come on. The promise was He is going to give you something. The commitment is if you diligently seek Him. He is going to increase you. My Lord. John said, I've got to decrease so that He could increase. I get that, and we think that we're just going to lay down on the ground, let Him stomp on us like a rug. But that ain't what it meant. He meant, I've got to get my flesh out of the way so He can equip my spirit to lead me and guide me and do things for me and put me in a better position. Some of us are sad sack and pitiful because we're laying down and we're giving up and saying, well, God, just take control. God says, I'm going to take control, but I'm not going to just do it for you. You're going to have to get out and be obedient and perform the work that I'm calling you to do. Noah was a man made great by believing promises. God said in Genesis 6:18, but with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. He believed and obeyed God after the flood. God promised Noah this in Genesis 8:21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. Noah believed the promise, and God sent a rainbow. Genesis 9, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. We already talked about Abram a little bit, but let's get to Abraham. That's what God changed him to. A little bit later in Genesis 12, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. What a promise. Jacob believed and accepted the promise. Genesis 27, you can read there. I'm not going to go on to it. Joseph in Genesis chapter 50. Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Joshua in Joshua 1. Gideon, praise the Lord. We have all these men that God promised great things to. They are in the book, not because they received the promise, but because they obeyed. God made many promises to David. God made promises to Solomon, Simeon, Paul, the centurion sent for Peter. God promised things to Eve, women, let's talk about women, Eve and Sarah and Deborah, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Anna, all these women, all these men, all these people did great exploits in the earth. Why? Because they obeyed and they believed the promise and they said, I cannot fail because the God that cannot fail is in me and greater is He that's within me than he that's within the earth. Does this make sense to anybody? Do you understand what I'm saying? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not going on a normal mandate. God promised them to be, if they were faithful, that He would take care of them even in a foreign land. And when they were cast into the flame, the heat was removed because God's promise was not going to come back empty. David smote Goliath. Not because of his own ability or because of a rock and a piece of leather, but because God promised him the victory. And if God promises it, He takes care of things. God promised the apostles. God promised that he would give them the land and that he would give them the ability to spread this gospel. And when they rolled up, even being unlearned, ignorant men, they were known as people that had turned the world upside down. What am I saying? If it's impossible for man, great. But nothing is impossible for a man that is being led and driven by the Holy Ghost. Get a hold of your promise. Age doesn't stop us. Gender doesn't stop us. Time frames don't stop us. The government cannot stop us. Sickness, health, disease, any of that don't stop nobody. Paul wrote most of the Bible in the New Testament where? From a prison cell. Jail cells can't stop God's promise. Do you hear me? They can censor us. They can shut us down. They can take us off of the internet, and God's promise is still going to go forth. You cannot fail. You cannot fail. I want you to just think about that for just a moment in regards to this church. How many prophecies have been given? How many things has the Lord shown us with visions and with dreams and people that have prophesied things? How many of you in here have had a dream or a vision regarding this church and the things that the Lord want to do? Look around. It doesn't take long to figure it out. God's promising his people that things are going to happen that we can't even imagine. And that means it doesn't matter what the economy, it doesn't matter what the spirit of Antichrist, it doesn't matter what naysayers or what scoffers may come up and say, God is going to have his will and his way, and we are going to see it happen, and we cannot fail because God said it, he will perform it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The list of those who became famous by receiving God's promises would be endless. Because we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us believe and receive God's promises also. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go here. I'm going to piggyback a little bit off of what I preached this morning. Do you know, talking about promises and for today, do you know that Jesus made a lot of promises that occurred then? And some of them occurred a little bit later and some things, you know, regarding his crucifixion and his resurrection and stuff like that. But God made promises that are for today too. Do you hear me? This is going back to Acts chapter 1 and 8, what I read this morning, the point that I made, that the Holy Spirit is working. He's not quitting. He's not lazy, so that you can be empowered to be a witness. Do you hear me today? You have been anointed and empowered to be a witness. And do you know that Jesus made the promise of the Holy Ghost? Come on. Jesus gave us the promise of the Holy Ghost. In John chapter 14 and verse 16, he said, "And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter." I'm going to read these fast. Acts 1:8, you'll receive power. We've already talked about that. Luke 24 and 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Did you hear that? "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with the power from on high." Now, I want to talk for just a few moments, and I'm going to be brief, about 15 minutes or so, if you'll give me that time. The promises that you have. Somebody say, "I've got the promises of the Holy Ghost." I talked about it this morning. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. God does not do anything outside of the parameters of the Holy Ghost. He convicts, he draws, he reveals, he heals, he saves, he delivers according to the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost. He draws people to him. They come, they repent, they get right with God. He baptizes them in power, and he sends them on their way. He puts words in their mouth. He puts thoughts in their mind. He gives them direction on how to preach and how to spread the gospel and how to reveal Jesus to folks. And today, I just want to tell you this much. It's not for one and not the other. The Holy Ghost is not for a select few. He's not just for Pentecostal people. He's not just for full gospel people. He's not just for charismatics or charismaniacs. But he is for whosoever will. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2 and 10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Oh, praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is involved in the great promises to the believers in Christ. Do you know that the Holy Spirit reminds us of his promises? Okay. Do you know what brings scriptures to your remembrance? The Holy Spirit. Do you know what puts little things in your heart? The Holy Spirit. Do you know what wakes you up in the middle of the night and gets you to pray for somebody in a foreign land or somebody across town or maybe somebody you don't even know? The Holy Spirit does that. Praise God. The Holy Spirit was prophesied in Joel chapter 2, 28 and 29. He said this, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." 29 said, "And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit." Do you know that God has always planned for His Spirit to dwell in and on men and women? This wasn't an Acts chapter 2 new thing. This wasn't something that just came out of the bushes and scared everybody. This was prophesied from the days of old. In fact, in that Acts 2 sermon that Peter said, "These are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel." He reminded them of the promise of God. Can you hear me, somebody? We need to stop for a moment whenever things are overwhelming and whenever things are going hard and everything is rough on us, and we need to say, "I'm reminding myself of the promise of the Holy Ghost, that He's a comforter, that He's a friend, that He's with me in the valley, He's with me on the mountain, He's with me in sickness and in health. Richer for poorer, the promise of the Father is stick 'em. He's with you. He ain't going to leave you." Isaiah 44 and 3, the prophet Isaiah said, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring." Praise the Lord. How many know that the water and the river of God is still flowing today? Matthew chapter 3 and 11, "But he that cometh after me is mightier than I." John the Baptist is saying this, talking about Jesus, "whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." John the Baptist, the one that was clothed in the camel's hide, eating locusts and wild honey, come out of the wilderness, and he declares, "I'm a nobody. Jesus is coming, but he's going to baptize you with the fire of the Holy Ghost." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Not only is the Spirit prophesied that he would come, but the Holy Spirit has been here forever. And he's going to stay forever. Do you hear me, somebody? John 14, 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." The Holy Ghost is not going to leave his church high and dry. The Holy Ghost is not going to come on you and then leave. I want you to hear me out. If you've ever felt anointed, you're always going to be anointed. The gifts and the calls are without repentance. Sometimes it's just, do you feel it or not? I don't understand why we think. I'm going to try to be careful how I say this because I want it to make sense and I don't want it to sound cutting. I don't understand why we discredit the hand of God on people just because they make mistakes. If God calls somebody, he's going to stick with them through their best time, through their worst time, and when they come back for round two. There's not a prophet in the world that never missed God. Huh? There's not a warrior in the Bible that didn't have a bad battle. There's not a person in this room that ain't had a bad day where you've stumbled, slipped, fell. And the difference is, do you lay there or do you get up? Huh? He's going to stay with you if you'll stay with him. He didn't come so he could just come on you on a Sunday night or on a Wednesday night or on a Tuesday night and you get the Holy Ghost, you get to bucking around and Ronda Shonda, all this that, running around, got a goosebump on your arm, fell out on the floor, come on, cried till your mascara run down your cheek, shook till your hair fell down or some of y'all men till it fell off. Huh? He didn't just show up and land on you like a little dove and then flap away. He's an abiding spirit. Do you not know that you're the temple? You're the habitation. You're the dwelling place. You're the house of the living God. And if the Spirit, praise the Lord, has ever come upon you until you've run him off, if you'll just ask him, he'll stay. whether you feel him or not. That's a promise, church. That ought to embolden somebody tonight. That ought to encourage somebody tonight. You ought to hear me out. I don't come at you in the name of a kingdom or in the name of a president or a king or a queen. I don't come to you in the name of a church title or a denomination. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the same spirit that he had, we have. And when we show up, we're not just a representative of, but we're him in flesh. Some of y'all don't have that understanding. I'm going to teach it to you for just a minute. If God, if the Holy Ghost is God, which he is, correct? Anybody have a disagreement with that? Here comes teaching time. Anybody believe that the Holy Ghost is not God? Praise Jesus. We all right. So if the Holy Ghost is God, what are we without him? We're just flesh, right? We're just a pile of meat and muscle and tendons and bone and sinew and all this parts that we're made up of. Come on. We're just flesh. So if the Holy Ghost comes to dwell in us, and he's God, and if we're flesh, that's God in the flesh. I'm hoping somebody's getting this revelation. What was Jesus? God in the flesh. What is his bride? God in the flesh. You can't take two things that aren't the same species and marry them together. God in the flesh is marrying God in the flesh. Jesus is the groom. The church is the bride. My Lord. Oh, somebody ought to hear me out. You have authority and you have power. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so when the Holy Ghost comes in you and upon you and all around you, and you're a walking, talking, breathing child of the living God, why do we not see the things that Jesus saw? I believe some of us are still in the Abram season instead of being Abraham. I believe some of us are still Jacob instead of Israel. I think we're having an identity crisis. And the devil's telling us we're worthless. Our flesh is telling us, well, maybe so. And God's saying, come on, baby, I've got you promise after promise after promise after promise. Do what I say, and I'm going to make it happen. All right. It's for all generations. It wasn't just for Pentecost 2,000 years ago. It wasn't for just the 120, the 3,000, the 5,000s. It wasn't just for the ones in Corinth or in Ephesus, but it's for everybody in all generations. I read it earlier, and I'll tell you again. Then this is Acts 2:38-9. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. For the promise. Somebody say promise. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. John 14:16, he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. All generations, forever and ever more. The Holy Spirit, I talked about this morning, reveals Christ as Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. He reveals Christ. That's a promise, church. That's a promise. The Holy Spirit testifies of Christ, but he also teaches us. Praise the Lord. John 14:26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. What is that important about? We need a teachable spirit. All right. I've been in the church all these years, and we've always done it this way, and this is how I think God ought to. That's right. That's how you think. And there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that's destruction and death. If the Holy Ghost can't teach you something new, you have no relationship with God. That's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. We have to get to the point to where we are malleable and moldable and able to be pushed into things that make us uncomfortable sometimes. Why? Because the teacher is at the front of the class saying, why won't my students listen to me? I want to show them something that's going to help them. The Holy Ghost wants to teach us things. Praise the Lord. Another one, the Holy Spirit brings comfort. I already talked about it this morning. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Acts 9 and 31. In the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they multiplied. How many of you know that when God brings comfort, he brings multiplication? Okay. I have to be careful how I say certain things because I know that some stuff is taken out of context and can be used against me, so I got to be careful. Things multiply in easier times. When we're busy fighting and pushing and making things work and straining and it's hard to multiply. Okay. When the men are on the battlefront and the women are all at home, ain't no babies getting born. But when there's peaceful times, all y'all baby boomers are a product of men coming home from World War II. And in good times of comfort, multiplication happened. Do you hear me? When the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is in the church is going to multiply. When the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is in your home is going to multiply the blessings of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the love of God. When the Comforter is in your workplace, you're going to be more productive and things are going to fall into place and workers are going to make things happen that they couldn't have done on their own. When your classroom has the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the children are going to make good grades on their tests and on their papers, and it's going to be a place of refuge and not a place of chaos. I'm going to tell you something. If you'll cultivate the comfort of the Holy Ghost wherever you go, multiplication is going to follow you. But when you push against it, when you cultivate strife, when you cultivate murmuring, when you cultivate complaining, when you cultivate gossip, the opposite of multiplication, division. Do you see the words here? Do you see the promises here? Do you see what God's wanting to do? His promise of the Spirit that comforts and multiplies is real. John 14, but the Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, I've already read that. He's going to bring all these things to your remembrance and teach you all these things. It's awesome. But the Holy Spirit speaks of the last days, 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Did y'all hear that? That's where we're at. But guess what? Don't be dismayed. Don't be disheartened. Don't be freaked out and scared. It's already promised that it was going to happen. Don't get caught off guard. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be overwhelmed. Just say, God said we'd have days like this. And you know what? But he also said that he'd be with us always, even unto the end of the earth. And he said, upon this rock I've built my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And 1,000 may fall over here. 10,000 may fall over there. But I'm going to stand firm. And I'm going to proclaim God is who he is, and I'm going to see the Lord in the land of the living. I don't understand why people are so fearful. Turn the news off. Shut off Facebook. Turn that mess away. Throw the take that subscription you're paying to whatever magazine and newspaper you got and put it in the offering plate and quit listening to that negative mess. Get you a Christian positive magazine to read instead of some old nasty thing. Huh? But Brother Shelby, there's a great falling away. Not here. There ain't going to be no falling away at this church. You know why there's a falling away happening in the world? Because people are leaving sound doctrine. But where sound doctrine is preached and where sound doctrine is taught, you don't see the falling away happen. The reason that people see folks running away from God is because the religion has been preached and not a relationship with the Jesus that we serve. God will take care of his own. It ain't our job. We preach the truth, get them in relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit will rock his own baby. Huh? Brother Bill, Pastor Shelby, any of y'all, you can't go babysit everybody till the Lord comes back. You can't be their Holy Ghost. You can't be their conviction. In fact, if you try to be somebody's conviction, you're going to push them away. You got to let the Spirit of the Lord take care of it. Praise God. I want to read that again, 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, well, that's us, some shall depart from the faith. Why did they depart from the faith? They gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They forsook the promise. And they went and made up something that sounded better to them than what God said. Did you catch that? It's ear tickling. It's what is that? Fits your fancy or whatever? What is that? Whatever? I can't remember that saying. It's comfortable. It's blessings without repentance. It's come as you are, stay as you are, leave as you are. Huh? It's don't worry about the Holy Ghost. If it offends you, we'll quit preaching about it. We're not going to talk about the gifts because it might get out of hand. We don't believe that God, we're not going to preach divine healing because so-and-so didn't get their miracle and we don't want to upset anybody. We're not going to talk about the blood because it's offensive and people don't like that gory stuff. Y'all hear me? We're not going to have worship like that because, you know, it gets out of hand sometimes and we don't have enough time to do what we got to do and this, that, and the other. That's doctrines of devils. Because what it does is it takes the glory away from God and it puts it on the schedule. It takes the emphasis off the King of Kings and it puts it on the creation instead of the Creator. It glorifies the lack of healing instead of the great physician that... What does this have to do with promises? God has made people able to do great exploits and literally become famous for Him because they obeyed the promise. I want you to repeat this after me. Nothing can stop me. Nothing can stop me. You need to start declaring that over your life. If God is calling you to do something, nothing can stop you. If God tells you to go pray for somebody at the store, do it. Don't worry about failure. It's on Him. And He can't fail. Do you hear me? Even in our failing times, if we rely on Christ, He brings forth some sort of victory that we didn't even see. Every time I've ever lost something, I've got a little backwards, upset, pouty about. God replaces it with something better. Empty hands are magnets for blessings. Y'all ain't heard it yet. You cannot hold more than what you currently have the ability to. So put some of the junk down and grab a hold of the promises of God. Throw down the doubt and grab the promise. Throw down the lack and grab the promise. Throw down the negativity and grab the promise. Quit being Abram when God's called you to be Abraham. Praise the Lord. Feel like I've got my point across tonight. What are we going to do? We ain't going to fail. We're going to do what the Lord's told us to do. Nothing's impossible. You can't die. Anybody... I don't know, they've made movies about it. I haven't seen the movies, I don't know, but I've got, there's a book, I think Toby Mac helped write, I think it's called One Nation Under God. Get in there and read the story about George Washington and the coat and the clothing. After battle, after battle, after battle, there were bullet holes that his tailor had to mend and had to patch. but he never got hit. The bullet would hit the coat, go through him, and come out the other side, but it never wounded him. What do you? And I'm not talking about one time. This happened multiple times because God's providence had a plan for him in his future, and bullets couldn't stop him. Somebody hear me out right now. Whatever you're facing at this moment, whatever you're going to face tomorrow, cannot stop you if you grab the promise and you hold on to the promise and you step out in faith and you go. Man can't walk on water, but if God called Peter out the boat, he walked on the sea. That's how it'll work. That's how it works. That's how God functions. So get up, get to your car, and begin to declare on yourself, I'm not going to fail. I'm going to obey and see the promise come to fruition. Throw your hands up all over this place. God, I thank you right now for equipping and encouraging the men and the women in this church. I thank you, God, for a revelation of who they are in you, Lord God, that the promises and the covenants that you've made, God, that they are just as sure today as they've always been. And I thank you for an increase of boldness. I thank you for an increase of this confidence, Lord, that as they go and as they do, they remember what you've told them. They act on it, God, and they see the fruit of their obedience come to fruition. I thank you, Lord God, great things. Let us make you famous, God. Let us bring you glory, God, by being obedient to your promise. In Jesus' name, I thank you, I praise you, and I love you. And everybody said, amen. Go forth and conquer. Take a city over for Jesus this week. I love you, and Jesus loves you. Be safe and blessed.